Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Matthew 16:18, the Word of God says, "And I say unto you also, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, there is a great deal of controversy over the years as to the meaning of this, but the meaning is really very simple. He is not saying that he's going to build a church on Peter, obviously. We know this. And we know that he is saying to Peter that he is a small stone. You see, he's continuing a thought here that started in John 1:42, when Peter came to Jesus for the first time when he met him, and Jesus beheld him and he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which by interpretation is a stone. And so now he is also telling him, and this is now a comparison of himself to Peter, and he is saying to himself, "You are a stone and I am a massive rock." And the picture that the scholars are saying is being used here is like the rock of Gibraltar. You are a stone compared to the rock of Gibraltar. "And upon this rock, upon this, I will build my church," ecclesian, which means assembly. "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And that word is katekisosin. And it's a future active indicative, and it means to be strong or to overcome. And this is not that the church yet existed. This is a future event that Jesus is talking about. This is about our age, the church age that began at Pentecost and will end at the rapture. And he says here, the gates of hell, and this is a dogmatic reality, that the gates of hell will attempt to, they will produce the action, they will attempt to, it's an indicative, you can bet on this, the gates of hell will attempt to overpower the church, but they will not do so. They will have no strength to overcome the church. Why? Because upon this church, upon this rock, because upon this rock, upon a huge cliff of a rock, God builds the corporate organism. And nothing has authority over that corporate organism except for the Savior Himself, as Christ is the head of the church. Only the Savior has authority over the corporate organism known as the church. Nothing else can even touch this corporate organism. It cannot prevail against it. Why? Because the corporate organism is given authority by God. It is a corporate organism where a believer lives. We are members in particular of one body. We are not individual members of many bodies. We are members in particular of one body, and that is the body of the Savior. And because we are the body of the Savior, our life is derived from the Savior. And because our life is derived from the Savior, we have not just the life of Christ, but we also have all the authority of Christ here on earth. Today we're going to talk for a few minutes about the authority of the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ has been endued not only with imputed righteousness, not only with the life of God, but with tremendous authority over all things that pertain to heaven and earth. It is very much a king who takes a bride. Now, today, kings don't have much authority. Usually, governments are parliamentary. But in the olden days when this was written, all authority belonged to kings. The king was the law. The king ruled the land. And if the king made a decree, the decree would be fulfilled. There were no two ways about it. The king had the power of life and death. There are no two ways about it. The king makes a decree. Now, when a woman who was loved by the king became the king's wife, then she received authority by her association with the king. And many a queen became an extremely powerful figure in a number of kingdoms. Because the queen carried the authority of the king. Even though she was not the king, she was one with the king. And the king would give her his ear as well as his heart. And so many a queen was an extremely powerful woman in the history of the kingdoms. We are like that. When Haman plotted against the Jews, when Haman plotted against Mordecai and built the gallows, it was the queen and her association to the king that saved Haman and the Jews. It was the queen and her association with the king that resulted in the destruction of Haman. It was the queen that preserved the Jews. But she was not a king. She was a queen. And even though in and of herself Esther was very fearful, she was still the queen. And as the queen, she wielded extraordinary authority. It wasn't authority that she had in herself. It was authority that the king gave to her by her association with him. We are like that also. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. That means, figuratively, that we are one flesh with the Savior. Just like a man and his wife become a union of one flesh, we are one flesh, figuratively, with the Savior. The intimacy and the closeness that we have with God actually transcends any intimacy and closeness that two human beings can have with each other. That means that if, for example, a wife has the husband's ear if he is a good husband, we much more have the ear of God. And because we have God's ear and because we have God's heart, we also have God's authority because He gives us that authority as His bride and His body. We don't just have the authority of God as a bride, but also as the body of Christ. That organism through which the life of the head flows and the expression of that head is brought on by the body of Christ. Just like the will of my mind is carried out by my body, the will of the Savior is carried out by His body. It was that way when Christ came to earth as a man. It is that way now that the Spirit indwells every believer, the same Spirit that indwelled the man, God. We have that same Spirit that descended like a dove unto the Savior. We are the body of the Savior. And therefore, as the body of the Savior, we possess incredible authority over all the things here on earth. This is why God said He will put all things under our feet. Because as the body of Christ, all things are already placed under our feet. We are already seated above in heavenly places with and in Christ because we are the body of Christ. Have you ever seen a head on a throne without a body? When a king sits on a throne, he sits there complete. Not just his head. He doesn't take his head off, put it on the throne, and discard his body. It would be a very malfunctional king. But we are the body of Christ. And so all the authority that Christ has had, we have. This is why Jesus said, "Greater things than these will you do." Why? Because we are His body. Because He has never stopped doing them. And in His ascension, we may say to ourselves that we are now separated from Him by at least distance. But that is not true. He ascended so that His Spirit could descend. And when Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit descended so that the same way that His Spirit was possessed by Him, it is now possessed by us. That which makes God who He is the essence of God. The Holy Spirit is God poured out onto man. And so we now have all that God is residing in us because that was what was residing in God. That was what made Him to be who He was. And we have the same Spirit. And if we have the Spirit of God, then we also have all the fullness of the authority of God to come to God just as the Savior is, with full expectation and confidence that not only has He heard, He will also answer according to our petition. When Jesus prayed, "Raise this little girl from the dead," when Jesus prayed, "Raise Lazarus from the dead," when Jesus prayed, "Release the demoniac," when Jesus prayed, "Heal the blind," it always happened. He did not heal them. God the Father healed them because Jesus emptied Himself of His divinity, and it was His humanity pleading with the Father with full confidence, not begging, but bringing a petition before Him. And that confidence was there because He knew the authority that He had as the body of God, as the God-man. We are not God-men, we are men with God inside of us. And so we have everything that Christ had in His body, we have it as a corporate organism. Because we are the body of Christ. So when God said something, as He was here on earth as a man, and it took place, likewise, if the church says something, it will take place. Why? Because the thoughts of the church come from the head, if the church has the mind of Christ. Now, it is not through presumption, but through the Word. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 7. In verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man." Now, notice He says, "I will liken him to a wise man." He was not a wise man in and of itself. But he becomes wise because he hears these sayings of mine, and then he does them. In other words, he hears the Word of God, and he lives in it. Remember, the sayings of God, the sayings of the Savior, were Word of God. Savior was Word of God, is Word of God today. So how does a collection of individuals born again and blood bought but not necessarily walking with the mind of Christ initially, how does that collection of individuals become the functioning body of Christ and the manifestation of who God is on earth? It's right here. If any man hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And that house, in verse 25, is founded on a rock. So there is no storm that can take that house down. This is the body of Christ. When the Word of God is alive in a local assembly, when the individual members of that local assembly in Hebrews 4:2 mix faith with what they hear from the pulpit as the Holy Spirit speaks to the messenger of that assembly, the pastor, as he delivers the message that is coming from God to that local assembly, what happens? That assembly is transformed into a living organism with Christ as its life source and head. And so now we are not just individual humans, although we are still individual humans, but we are more than that. We are the body of the Savior. And the body of the Savior has all the position and rank of the Savior Himself. Now, I was made to be the body. I didn't start out to be the body. I didn't die for the sins of the world, but I died with Him. In Galatians 2:20, I was crucified with Him. This is why I reckon myself dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ. It is that self portion that prevents me from being the functional body of Christ, although I may still be the body positionally. But functionally, and really if my doctrine only produces position and not function, then my doctrine is pretty useless. But functionally, I become the body of Christ through the Word of God producing a cross in me. And that cross in me allows for the life of the Word to flow out without being hindered by the life of self. When that happens, you have the functional body of Christ. Now, not every believer in the local assembly is going to be a functional portion of the body of Christ. However, the believer who is living in the filling of the Holy Spirit, functioning in the quickening of the Holy Spirit, controlled by the mind of the Holy Spirit, endued with the life of the Holy Spirit, is a functional member of the corporate local assembly that is producing an organism that is the expression of who God is, known as the body. The body of Christ has the life of God and the authority of God here on earth. Not in presumption, but in having the mind of the Savior through the Word of God regulated by the Spirit of God as it indwells that body. In other words, the fact that there are electrical impulses in my mind do not give me thoughts. But the fact that those electrical impulses have a form of translation gives me thought. And so the Holy Spirit initiates electrical impulses in my mind and then gives those impulses meaning through the very fact that He dwells in a man that possesses a human capacity that he was created by God with as he was born again, called the human spirit. And so the human spirit interprets the mind of God. And the Holy Spirit initiates the impulses. The human spirit interprets the impulses. When this takes place, the believer effectively has Christ as his head. Because Christ is my head, Christ's thoughts are my mind, I function with the full authority of who God is, because who God is not only living in me, but now being expressed in and through me. This is the body of Christ. And so when Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against me, it's because the gates of hell are not capable of prevailing against God. God threw Satan out of heaven. God will throw him into the lake of fire. It is the same God whose body we are. Now, it is not the finger that has the fullness of the power of the head. But it is the finger as it cooperates in a union with the head, whereby that finger is able to express the power of the head. In other words, the head initiates, the finger responds, and the outworking is the will of God. And so we have full authority as the body of Christ, the full authority of Christ Himself, because He is our head. Now, in order for this to take place, it is imperative that I mix faith with what I hear. Why? What does mixing faith do? It is possible to hear the Word of God, not mix faith, and yet receive it in my intellect. But that is not the mind of Christ. That is taking water and putting it in a bag. What I do is I receive the mind of God through the Word of God, mix faith with what I hear, and it doesn't go into the mind, which is one of the five parts of the soul. By mixing faith with what I hear, it is processed by the human spirit, and it becomes frame of reference. Once it becomes frame of reference, then all my thinking is done with the mind of God. It is not my natural thinking process, the natural impulses that go through my mind that regulate the Word. It's the Word that regulates the impulses going through my mind. Why? It's the frame of reference. When that takes place, my decisions, my thoughts, my habits, my life, even my individual moments of contemplation are from God. At that point, God has a body that will respond to Him. Many believers, unfortunately, live in spinal cord injuries, whereby the impulses initiated by the mind are not transferred to the body. And the reason being, because when they heard the Word of God, they did not mix faith. They accepted it as intellectual information, stored it in the natural container of their mind, and regulated it with their own natural thinking. But when I receive the mind of God and mix faith with what I hear, it profits me. It increases me. Because it is my frame of reference, and the spinal cord, if you will, is intact. And therefore, the body can respond to the head. And as the body responds to the head, then the full authority of the head is manifested in that body. And therefore, we are now the body of Christ. In Matthew 16:19, the Word of God says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to the church. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall also be loosed in heaven. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The Word of God. The Word of God is the key to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the narrow gate. And so He is the key that is unlocking the kingdom of heaven. Well, the kingdom of heaven has a great deal of authority. And when that authority is unlocked by the Word in the frame of reference of the believer, all of that authority pours out unto the believer. So we, as the body of Christ, have profound authority here on earth. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And in 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are the body of Christ, members in particular. Well, if all power is given to the head, then all power also belongs to the body. Because you cannot separate the head from the body. If you separate the head from the body, you kill the organism, both head and body. So if all power is given unto the Savior in heaven and on earth, then all power resides with us in heaven and on earth. Whatever we bind as a corporate organism here on earth will also be bound in heaven. Why? Because all power is given unto our head and we are the body of that head. So if we bind, it is because we have the mind of Christ, the very one to whom all power was given. A believer is someone who lives with tremendous confidence because they know that all power belongs to them as a member of the body of Christ. My finger, as a member of my body, can access all the resources of all parts of that body, including the head. You ever see anybody bite their nails? The finger is utilizing the head. Ever scratch your finger? Got an itch? You scratch it? The finger is utilizing the other portions of the body of Christ because the head has received an impulse from the finger, has received a message from the finger, and other portions come and they take care of that finger. The finger did not... My right finger does not talk to my left hand. The head talks to my left hand. My right finger talks to my head. Now, the amazing thing about the body is that it can affect that which is outside of itself. This is, in fact, one of the characteristics of what a biological living organism is. It can affect its environment. As a believer, a corporate member of the body of Christ, I can affect my environment. I can change what is around me. Now, my finger does not change it on its own. My hand does not go out apart from my head and start functioning. Why? Because it won't change anything. But when the head sends direction to the hand, and the hand responds properly to the head, because the head has given the hand definition, the hand is then able to do something that is remarkable. It can create. It can change. It can organize. It can move. It can do things. It can create or destroy. Why? Because it has taken initiation from the head. Now the hand may find a problem in doing so. And if that takes place, without even having to think about it, the hand will send an impulse to the mind. The mind then responds to the impulses from the hand and sends other direction to both the hand and other members of the body. And whatever it is that the hand has found as a source of opposition is now completely removed. Because perhaps something has trapped the hand, and so the other hand will come and throw away the thing that has entrapped that hand under the direction of the head. There is great authority that the hand possesses with the head. And the head has all authority. So when we, as the body of Christ, come to God, we have full and confident expectation, not only that our request has been heard, but that most certainly, without any hesitation or doubt, that request will be acted upon. We are the body of Christ, and we have authority as that body. Now, my authority isn't with the world. My authority is with the head. The head created the world. Eventually, the head will again destroy the world. And then he will create a new world. It is that head that I have authority with. And so I can go to the head as a member in particular and have full and complete assurance that as I ask, so it will be. In Matthew 21, in verse 21, Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not," in other words, if you have mixed faith with what you have heard, allow that then to become your frame of reference as opposed to simple intellectual knowledge that is regulated by natural thinking, but rather having that which you have heard regulate your thinking, be the source of your thinking as a frame of reference. If you have that going on, you shall not only say to this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto the mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," it will be done. Now, I may say to myself, "I don't really think it'll happen." But the only reason I am saying that is because this portion of information has never been transformed into a living faith by mixing faith with what I heard. Never been taken from being Word of God to being mind of Christ. Never been mixed with faith, therefore becoming responded to by the human spirit, making it to be my frame of reference, and having it simply to be a natural, reasonable part of my everyday thinking. Instead, we come across passages like this, look at ourselves, become self-conscious, take it as a matter of information processed by the natural mind, apply it with natural thinking, and say, "This won't work for me." Well, he tells you why right here. You didn't mix faith with what you heard. What did Jesus say? Only believe. Only believe. It's not the quantity of my faith, it's the fact that I have some. Only believe. In other words, I don't have to talk myself into faith, and faith doesn't become my idol. I just believe what the Savior has said, like a child, to where it becomes my frame of reference, and anything that I come against, the mountain was in fact there, but it was cast into the sea. Why? Mix faith with what you hear, and it profits you. We are the body of Christ. How unable is the Savior? You see, in that element of looking at myself, I disattach myself from the life of the body, and though I am still positionally attached to the corporate organism, I no longer have the life of the head flowing in me. But when the life of the head flows in me, nothing is impossible. Why? Because nothing is impossible with Him. And I say to the mountain, "Be removed," and the mountain's removed. I curse the fig tree, and the fig tree is cursed. This is why there is word accountability for the body of Christ, because the words that I speak as one who can bind on in heaven that which I bind on earth is a powerful responsibility. And so I confess faith. This is why in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 10, they overcame the devil with their testimony. Why? Because the testimony had power. Because the body of Christ has authority with God. As a living, functioning, corporate organism, deriving its health, deriving its life, deriving its thoughts, deriving its abilities, deriving everything from the head, the very head, which is Christ Himself, we have all the authority that Christ had. Let me ask you something. If Christ said to the mountain, "Be removed," would it be cast into the sea? I believe it would. I am the body of Christ. The key to this is having the right frame of reference. The opposite of faith is self-consciousness. So if I live in a self-consciousness, I'm not living in faith. Why did Peter start to sink? Because as he looked at the storm, he became self-conscious and compared himself to that which was around him. The moment he stopped, when the Savior got his attention again, he was walking back on the water. You see, as the body of Christ, we have tremendous authority. As the body of Christ, nothing is impossible. As the body of Christ, demons themselves have to yield to our command. Not because of who we are or through natural thinking or preferences, but because we have the life of God, the one who overcame them, living in us. We are His body. So it's not us that they yield to. It's the head of the body that we are that they yield to. We are the body of Christ. And just like Jesus, when he wanted to walk somewhere, his feet would take him. When he wanted to pick something else up, his hands would do it. When he wanted to look somewhere, his eyes would turn. Just like his body responded to him as a man, his body responds to God as the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ, and therefore we can respond to God. The Word of God says, in Matthew 18:29, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Why is that? Because two are the body of Christ. In the next verse, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I also in the midst of you. Why? We are the body of Christ. We can ask what we will, we agree together, and we know with full assurance and confidence that the Father who is in heaven will do it for us because two are agreed in the body of Christ. That is powerful authority. Considering that God Himself made all that there is, both visible and invisible, the vastness of the cosmos simply required God to say a word. And we have that authority as His body. So two are agreed. We pray for anything that we desire because we desire the heart of God, because we are the body of Christ, because we have the mind of Christ living in us, producing life in us. We ask God and He answers. This is the authority of the body of Christ. Whatsoever they shall ask, it shall be done. Simple as that. There are no stipulations or conditions put on this other than two are agreed. Whatsoever the body of Christ asks will be done. It is not just because we are the bride, although that would be reason enough, but we are His very body. A man loves his wife like he loves his own body. What does he love first, his wife or his body? His body. Love one another as I have loved you. I receive love from God before I can love the other. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who do you love first, yourself or your neighbor? Yourself. Likewise, we receive from God first. And in that receiving from God, we possess tremendous authority with the one who has all power given unto him. If your tooth hurts, you go to the dentist. The whole body goes, not just the tooth. If you break an arm, you go to the doctor. You don't send the arm. The whole body goes, you don't just send the arm. Arm, go ahead, go to the doctor. I'll see you when you get back. Doesn't work that way. The head goes with the arm. And therefore, where we are, He is also. The head goes with the arm. Whatever we face, He faces. Whatever we feel, He feels. If we have the mind of Christ, whatever we think, He thinks. If it scares us, it touches Him. Do you understand the power and the authority of the body of Christ? to have that position, and not just as a position, but as a practical function in my life, produces an extremely powerful individual who lives in faith rest, has peace that passes understanding, and tremendous power in prayer. They pray, and the world changes. Why? Because God acts upon the impulses that are sent to the head. And so the impulse comes, the head responds, and action is initiated, and God acts on the part of the believer. In Colossians 2, in verse 9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Christ dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily. "And we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." That means that even if demons come against us, even if demons initiate circumstances, if demons control other people to come against us, He is the head of all principality and power. That means that there is not one thing, either from a human who is naturally controlled by their own sin nature, or from someone who is demonically influenced, nothing can prosper that comes against the believer. Nothing will have power against the believer. Nothing can overcome the believer, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the body of Christ. So with full confidence and assurance, we can walk into the midst of a spiritual war, walk into the midst of the storm that it's causing, and we can say, just like the Savior, "Be muzzled." And it will have no option but to be muzzled. Why? Because as the body of Christ, we have authority with God. We have the head, we are His body, and it is one organism. This is why in Isaiah 45 and verse 11, the Word of God says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker." Thus says the Lord. And we are the spiritual Israel, our Maker and the Holy One of us. "Ask me the things to come concerning my sons. Ask me what I will do. Ask me." As the body of Christ, ask the head what the head will do. "And concerning the works of my hand, command you me." "Ask me and command me," says the head to the body. Why? Because the body has profound authority as the body of Christ. And when the body asks, the head responds. When the body commands, the head initiates. But it doesn't initiate the command that it received. It initiates according to the command it received, as the body is functioning with the mind of God. And so the body asks, and whatever we bound on earth is not only bound on earth, but also now bound in heaven. And whatever we ask, we receive. And if we are gathered together, He is there also. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. Amen.